No, I thought about the last couple of weeks and, you know, what was I going to speak about? Because it's always, I think, a little bit challenging when you go, well, God, what do you desire for your word? What part of your word do you desire to be spoken today? And how do I go about doing that? How do I have you speak through me? And so as we started with the whole COVID thing, I started going through and, you know, as we all do, I reinvigorate my daily reading. And I said, let me start with some of the things that I probably don't read as regularly. Maybe I kind of tended to go towards like maybe some of the New Testament passages of like Romans or Ephesians or even James. I said, well, let me go to some of the ones that maybe towards the back, maybe a little bit before Revelation that we kind of forget about, like those 1st, 2nd Peter and John. And I read through those, and eventually I started reading backwards, back towards the front of the Bible, and I got to Titus, and it just seemed appropriate as I read through Titus 3 that would be a good place to start today. I'm going to be focusing primarily on Titus 3, verses 1 and 2, and we'll pray here in a minute after I read through this. And it starts out, and again, the letter of Paul to Titus, much like Timothy, are kind of thought of as more of the pastoral ones, giving advice and instructions to Titus as far as how to serve the congregations and the churches that Paul has put them over. So here's how it goes from verses 1 and 2. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. And as I thought about that, what kind of came up to me and was brought to mind was really at the end of Titus 3:1, which was to be ready for every good work. And I thought about that also in light of the COVID thing because, you know, I really enjoyed the beginning. I would take Stephen and we would go to the gym and he even said, you know, this COVID thing's not so bad. I get to go to the gym with you like every day now. And I thought about how as we were getting ready, he's looking forward to playing football and we're looking forward to like getting ready for that and being prepared for the work he's going to have to do with football. And I thought about, well, how did that transpire? Because soon we had the situation where all the gyms were closed, to include the ones on the base, and then we could no longer go there. So we went out and we made sure that, well, how can we still make sure that we are preparing ourselves for that work later in the fall, or actually as it starts up next week for him? That's kind of all kind of came together as the Lord kind of led me to, okay, what do you have me speak about this morning? So with that, we'll go ahead and start with prayer. Lord, we thank you first and foremost for what you've done in bringing us back into that relationship with you where we can stand before you, Lord, where we can worship you and we are not separated from you. We thank you for that. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how your word provides that information and that picture into who you are, what your nature is, who we are, and why we're here and why you made us, Lord. And we just thank you for that. I would just pray over the next couple minutes that, Lord, it would be your words that are spoken and your message that is spoken, and that in all things it will be done to give glory back to you, Lord, as our creator who made us and knows us better than anybody else, knows us so intimately, and knew us even in our mother's womb. So we just thank you for that. We praise you. And we just again pray for this time we have together. And it's in your son's precious name. Pray. Amen. So dutifully, we would get up and we would get ready. So I'm like, okay. And I found out some things like we got one of those Total Gyms, which if you stayed up late, you probably saw the infomercial. And so we're doing the Total Gym and it's awesome. And I thought that's really important. To get ready for it. In this case, it's because we want to stay fit. So for me, I've got a different reason. I've got a PT test coming up in the fall. Just after the grace period where they said, if you had it due a month earlier, I wouldn't be due for a whole other year. But that's okay. But I got to be ready for it too. And I thought about it from the light of the Titus passage. And I thought, okay, well, why? Like, why is it that Paul is asking and telling Titus that to remind them to be ready for every good work? And we see that and I kind of let a little bit of the cat out of the bag last week at the end of the prayer with the Ephesians text that I kind of alluded to. It's in Ephesians 2:8, and it goes to why are we here and why are we created? What is our purpose? And as we focus in on that Ephesians, and really Ephesians 2:10, that's going to tell us that we are his workmanship. We are God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so there's a couple of things in there on the why. You know, one is, first part is God made us. So, okay, there's kind of the authority on like, well, why should I even pay attention to this part at all? Is, well, we know that we get frustrated with things in life when something doesn't work like it's supposed to. It doesn't fulfill its purpose because the purpose is given by whoever created it. So I can sense that when I do a program and I can get very frustrated and, you know, Christine will tell you my eyebrows are a little crazy and my hair gets spiked up because I'm running my hands through my hair. But it's because it's not, I'm the one who had created that program and I need it to do what I need it to do and what I designed it to do. And in this case, God's the one who made us. In the same way, he's also the one who has prepared these things for us to do. So even when before we were even Christians, before we were even called, God had things that he had said, hey, I've got things that I've got designed for you to do in advance. And I've got a plan, and I could do it without you, but I want to do it through you. And so he's made us, he's prepared the works for us, and he obviously desires that we would do those good works as we step through there. And there's all the part that we can talk about. There's the whys, and we can talk about the mystery of how God knew when we were going to be there and set up the circumstances, but then it comes down to where I felt that the Titus passage linked in, which is, okay, well, that's great, but in the same way that if I go out there and try to run, you know, a mile and a half, and I go out the gate at, you know, a minute 15 pace for the first lap, that's going to last for about the first 200 meters, and then I'm going to be done. And so there's something that I have to do to prepare for that. And so what does that look like as we're doing that preparation, as we prepare to fulfill that purpose that God has given for us to do, that he's prepared for us to do before we were even born? And I think that goes back to what, in sense, is what is our ultimate purpose for him? Because we can say, well, his purpose for me today is to go and to be kind to the person behind the cash register at the grocery store because of this. Or if I'm getting back, I'm going to the airport, is to be kind to that TSA agent who everybody loves to talk to and loves when they say, hey, guess what, you got some extra screen. That could be one thing. But in reality, in the larger verse, what is our overall purpose? And it's to give glory to him. It's to give glory to him who created us and who sustains us and who ultimately saved us. And again, this is answered in many ways. And as I thought about how it all linked together, it was really, what was our, this is part of our whole chief purpose, is to give glory to him. And it's answered as in different ways. Based on the text from 1 Corinthians 10:31, it talks about, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's also answered, if you look in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, it's the first question, the primary question, which is, what is the chief end or purpose of man? It's to, the first part of it is to give glory to God in what we do. And even we hear it also echoed in Jesus' words in John chapter 15, verse 8, when he says, by this my Father is glorified, so here's how we give glory to God, that you bear much fruit, and so you prove to be my disciples because you bear fruit. And so we see we're fulfilling our purpose by bearing the fruit which God prepared in advance for us to do, as we see. And even it goes back to the Old Testament, as we see back in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, where it says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And we see those echoes coming back to Paul in his letter to the Ephesians as well, in that Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 10 message, in that God again created us. By doing this, by doing these works and preparing for them, we're fulfilling the purpose that God created us for, which was to ultimately give glory to him. So we covered that's the why, but then, okay, so that's great, but then how does that look in everyday life as I'm getting up at 6, getting ready for work, shaving, going into the base, getting on the Total Gym, thinking I'm Chuck Norris. Yeah. But again, we need to know that we need to have that discernment and that wisdom, because we know that we also read that God's going to give us the words we need to speak at those times when we're put in front of the authorities, or we're put in front of people. We're relying on the Holy Spirit to give us those words that we speak when we're talking to that person, and how do I meet that person where they are, and how do I accomplish that work that he's got? How do I know that this is the time to speak and this is the time just to listen? And we get that wisdom from two places. One is from his word. We know from Solomon that that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we know also in Paul's other letter to Timothy, he talks about it in this way, and that in 2 Timothy, this may be familiar, 3:16-17, where it says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or perfect, depending upon your translation, and equipped for every good work. So the word is an essential part of us being prepared now. And being in the word is an important part, and reading the word is an important part of us being ready for what God has for us to do, especially in uncertain times like this, where we're called to be the hope to the world that is so desperately looking for it in a time such as this, where things are kind of crazy around us. But we also know that even from the scriptures, even when Peter says and declares that Jesus is the Christ, he says, you know, Peter, you did not come to this by your own knowledge, but my Father in heaven revealed it to you. In the same way, we can do our part that we're reading the word, but we do heavily rely on the Holy Spirit to reveal this to us. And as we look at that, we also know, again, going back to the Corinthians text, that God reveals things through the Spirit, those things that are spiritual, because they're spiritual truths, that we couldn't get them by figuring them out on our own, that we rely on that. And so we have the reading his word, but also the meditating on his word is also on the prayer. And much like as we go through, it's important for us to seek out that guidance for the Holy Spirit, not only that we read through and go, okay, great, I read through, here it says, read through Proverbs 2, 1 through 22, okay, read through it, okay, that's great, close the Bible and go. But it's important for us also to seek out what is that spiritual truth that God is trying to provide for me as I go through that particular text, and how is that looking to meet, prepare me for that work that he has for me to do as I go through that. And where does this all kind of tie in as we look into the greater story, this greater analogy, if you will, of the exercise, which is we know that when we exercise, there's effects if I stop. Like, we all miss a day, we miss 2 days, I've missed 2 weeks. And so things happen. So, and just the kind of that analogy I think about is just as our bodies are kind of are decrementing, so by the second day, we start to have like our mood changes. I think we can kind of see how that if I don't read God's word and meditate on it, my mood changes pretty quickly. If I'm not focused on him and keep my eyes on him, I become like that unforgiving servant who, even though he was forgiven a great debt, now exacts very much a very lawful, very harsh requirement on the person who owes him very little. So I can see my mood change. By the end of the first week, you actually, without exercising, you're actually aerobic ability actually goes down 10%. Like, that's it. And then by the second week, it's 15. Now all that muscle you worked hard on now becomes to start filling with fat. And I think about how that goes and how much is that like now, as I have not been in God's word, how much now less attuned am I to that Holy Spirit? Not just when I'm reading his word, and not just because that word is fresh in my mind, but now how much am I attuned to that Holy Spirit now as I'm now interacting with somebody without the word open in front of me? Oh, by the way, in my body, my muscle starts being replaced with fat. How much now more is the spiritual truth of God now being replaced by what I'm seeing in the world? And now I start to internalize and to react and to respond more based on the world's wisdom and less based on the truth of God's word. And it goes further. By the 20%, by the third week, you're 20% down. You start getting more tired. And I can see that I start getting less patient. Actually, to be honest, that probably happens the first day. But you get less patient with people. You're less likely to go back to God's word. That hunger starts to decrease. And then by a month, you've lost a third almost of your strength. And I think of, you know, God built us. He built our physical bodies as well as our spiritual souls. And I think about, what does it look like if I've not been active and being in God's word, reading it and going to him in prayer and meditating on it? And what does that look like in my spiritual life? Because I can tell what it looks like. We can measure what it looks like in our physical lives in the terms of exercise, but what does it look like in my spiritual life when that happens? And so as I look at that, we come to kind of closing here. We may not know what those good works are that God has for us to do. We may not know when they're going to happen. We may not know the circumstances or the people that we're going to be interacting with. But we do know from God's word and his truth that he does have those for us. And he does expect that we're going to walk in him. And we are privileged to be able to join him in his work in redeeming the world back to himself through the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ paid for our sins on the cross to bring us back in the relationship with him. So we could have a global, we heard a little about some global things going on in Africa today. That could be the work that God has you to do. It could be very local. It could be in the way in which you talk to your children. It could be the way in which you talk to the clerk. It could be the way in which we talk to each other here at church. We all have good works, and they don't all look like these huge mountaintop experiences, and a lot of times they're in the everyday living of our lives. And the only way you can prepare for those is by continually being in his word and praying and spending time with him every day in prayer, as we've talked about. Whether it's big or small, we know that we can do nothing without Christ, and we need him to continually strengthen us and to sustain us as we go through these works that he's prepared for us to do. So we know that he's got them for us. We know that he's redeemed us for them, and we know that he will see us through each of these works, and he will prepare us for them as we go through. And so in closing, you know, we're, like I said, I'm 2 weeks down, so tomorrow's a new day, because it's always easier, and that's the other part. It's always easier to miss another day once you've missed the first, and then after a day becomes a week, and a week becomes a month. And again, I don't think that's anything cosmic, what I've just shared, but I think it's always good for us to remember to put that focus and that energy and that time into spending that time in God's word, because especially in times like this, there's going to be people who are going to be looking for the hope that we have in us. And the work that God has for you may just be reaching that person who is looking for that hope today or this week. And with that, if you'll pray with me. Lord, I thank you for your perfect word. I thank you for your perfect purpose. And I thank you for what you do in allowing us to join you in this great work of salvation you have in bringing humanity back into that relationship with you. And as I think about our church family here, I think about just all the gifts we have and the heart that we have here. And Lord, I think there's no better way than to close with the words from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened, or grant us to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, that we being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.